We're going to read this morning from another psalm, Psalm number 130. Psalm 130, just a short psalm, but one that has been a real blessing to my own soul in this past week. Psalm 130, reading at verse number 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we bow before thee today, the great and the almighty and the only God of this universe, the one who by thy word spake all things into existence, and by thy power sustaineth all things. And Father, we thank thee that for thy creation thou hast taken just a few chapters in thy word to describe it. Yet, Lord, for the recreation of sinful souls, thou hast spent the rest of thy word. And Father, we pray today that every one of us who know the Lord may be truly thankful unto God for our gospel privileges. We are a blessed people indeed. And today, our God, we pray that as we turn to thy word just now, that thou would speak to every soul. For those who know thee, we pray, O God, that thou would encourage them and bless them and build them up in their most holy faith. And Lord, for those who are not saved, O God, may they hear the word of warning and flee from the wrath of God to come and come to the waiting arms of the Lord Jesus, who alone can save. Be with us now, we pray, and speak by thy power, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the greatest blessings in life for a Christian is to know that one's sins are forgiven by Almighty God. We have been spending some time this last few weeks in the prayer meeting studying the various petitions of the prayer known as the Lord's Prayer. And last Wednesday evening, we came to that prayer request, "Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors." And we spoke somewhat about the forgiveness of God and our need also to be forgiving in our Christian lives. Then during the week in my own personal reading, I was reading again the 15 Psalms of Degrees, or Songs of Degrees. That's 120 through number 134. And reading through them, I came to that wonderful statement in 130 and verse 4, "But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." And that verse came to me with great blessing, and I want to share it with you today, that you may understand how great a privilege it is to know that your sins are forgiven. And if you are not a Christian, that you may seek after that blessing, and that you pray as we have in the prayer, "Forgive us our debts," or "Forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors," or those who transgress against us. I have three things I want to share with you. The first one is not very long. The second one is the major meat of the message. And the last one is quite short, but I want to leave these things before you. And first of all, to consider the serious situation that the psalmist found himself in. Because firstly we discover that he is in extreme distress. Verse 1, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord." And so he's crying here from the lowest abyss of calamity. And he's crying in such a manner, why? Well, that comes out in the next verse, in the verse 3, where it says, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? So the question here, and the reason why he was in the depths of despair, had to do with sin, his own sin, and the sins of the nation of Israel. And he poses the question, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, and that word mark there is a word that has, you can read it also, if thou, Lord, be extreme to mark iniquities. If the Lord was to sit down and to mark every little thing that we do wrong, well, we would not be able to stand before Almighty God, as the psalmist tells us there. And so it would be with us, because in our lives, we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And the justice of God is crying out, honestly, legally, and lawfully, let him perish, let the sinner die. And then all hell is likewise against our case, crying out, cast him or her, the sinner, down to the flames of hell that has been prepared for the devil, his angels, and for those who are sinners. The law of God is crying out, let him perish, because he has broken my precepts and he's broken my commandments. And so the psalmist here realizes he has sinned against God, and it is troubling him greatly within his heart. So he cries out in desperation, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. This is not a light thing. He was in distress and in the middle of calamity. Now, if the Lord God Almighty was to sit down and to mark every one of your sins or my sins, his books will be full, because from beginning to end we are sinners and we daily add sin upon sin. And so if we were to continue like that, our sins would rise, as we sing in the Sunday school, as high as a mountain, and we would be heading for disaster. But I want you to notice that when the psalmist says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, that is only for the believer. Because as you'll see in a moment or two, the Lord deals with the sins and iniquities of the believer. But for the unbeliever, God does mark iniquities. And so every sinful thought, every sinful word, every sinful deed that you have had in your life is inscribed in God's books, and God knows about them. The if applies only to those who have had their sin dealt with by the Lord through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, each of us, we have already a mountain of sin, because, as we mentioned, we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And we're not very old until that sinful nature in the little child begins to manifest itself. You can see it in the attitude. You can see it in its movements. You can see there that there is a contrary nature. And then as we begin to develop into our young years, that these sins that are shown in embryo form at the beginning, they multiply and they grow, sin upon sin, transgression upon transgression. And then as time goes on and we get to the years of our teens, now they are being applied and added in a multitude of ways. You get to middle age, and again, the mountain is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You get to old age, it's getting bigger and bigger. So at any given time, we are at the very worst we have ever been, because we have committed more sins than at any time in our lives. So we have a problem. And if we were to sit down and count our own sins, it would be as frustrating a job as to go out on a dark night and to try and enumerate the stars of the heaven, because our sins, certainly they multiply. And there is an absolute disaster of having that mountain of sin not dealt with and not forgiven. And so that's why we're looking at this matter this morning of this verse where it says, but there is a forgiveness with sin, or of sin. Now, sin is a debt unto Almighty God. And there's one thing that we should rejoice in, and that is that everybody who has a knowledge of their sin and is willing to acknowledge that they are sinners before God, that is a boon and a blessing. Because there are people abroad today who do not acknowledge either God or the fact that they have sinned against Him. You take, for example, in the world of finance, the number of frauds that have been perpetrated in recent years, especially by high executives in some of these great companies. And these are people who feel that the world owes me a living. And so they have no compunction about sinning against man and against God by taking that which is not theirs. And going further, trying to justify themselves by saying, I do not owe that debt. You see, in order to get the thing resolved, you've got to admit sin. And the people who are involved in those things need to admit them, because they'll never get right with God until they do. And that's what the psalmist is doing here. He's admitting, Lord, I'm a sinner. Israel has sinned against Thee. And Lord, if You did mark iniquities against us, none of us could stand before Thee on the day of judgment, but will be cast down to the caverns of the damned. And so you've got the serious situation of people who are sinners, and all of us, without exception, are sinners in the eyes of Almighty God. Now I come to focus on what I've termed here a sweet statement. Because in the middle of this cry of the psalmist, and from the depths of his calamity, he says, but there is forgiveness with thee. Now that word but there is a glorious word. You'll find there's a number of words like that in the Bible where it shows you the wonder of God's blessing and the wonder of the God's intervention in our situations in life. Over in Matthew 18, I was showing the people on just briefly on Wednesday evening. You've got the story there of the king who was going to take account of his servants. And they discovered that one servant had owed him 10,000 talents, and I tried to put that into the sort of modern money, and it works at about 48 or maybe $50 million. This was no light debt. And so in the case of that man, that in his service of this king, whosoever the king was, we don't know, but in the service of the king, he gradually built up this debt. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, until now he has a mountain of debt. 10,000 talents of silver, or in our day something like $50 million. And the king commanded that he should pay, but he was not able to pay. And the king was saying, well, we'll sell him and we'll sell all that he has and his wife and his children, and the payment may be made. So the man, he came to the king and he said to him, and says he had worshipped him, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. And then you've got this statement, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. So here's a man with an immense debt, and the king writes it off and forgives him. We'll not go into the bit later where he went after to try and choke somebody who owed him $81 by today's standard. And he was let off so much. But the point I'm making is that he built up a debt, and the king came to a place where he was willing to write that debt off. Now when you think of the mountain of debt that we have to God for transgressing His law, and you think that the Lord is willing to forgive us for our sins, never ever forget that while forgiveness costs you nothing, there is a cost. Because in the case of that man, the Bible there, that the man who was forgiven the $50 million debt, it didn't cost him anything. because the debt was forgiven. But it did cost the king, because he lost $50 million of revenue. So in a forgiveness situation, there's always somebody who has to pay. When you come to our situation in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a mountain of debt. And while it costs nothing for us to have the sin removed, it cost the Lord Jesus Christ his life and his death on the cross, where he shed his precious blood. And he paid with the death of the cross. He paid with the shame and the pain. And what a demonstration of the love of God was the divine gift of Christ, all so that God could say, "But there is forgiveness with thee, or there is forgiveness with me." Now I want to open up a little box of sweet things for you. Now, I don't know whether you like chocolates or not, but at Christmas time you find people give a box of chocolates to a friend, and they're usually not the run-of-the-mill ones, they're usually better class ones. Now, I'm not sure whether you like chocolate or not. If you don't, then you can forget this illustration and put something in that you do like. But I want to open up, as it were, a box of sweet chocolates of the blessing of God that comes through this verse here, "There is forgiveness with the Lord." And the first one that we take out and look at is one that brings tremendous blessing. And that is that God Almighty looks upon the believer as if he or she had never, ever sinned in their life. Now, friend, that is one very, very sweet promise from the Lord, because you can turn to various parts of the Bible. For example, Isaiah 43, I'll read it to you, and 25, where God says, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins." So here's the God of heaven, the infinite God of heaven, who has all power, willing to blot out from his own remembrance the sins, the hideous, awful sins that you and I have committed. Isaiah 44:22, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins." We see an aeroplane going up into the clouds. It disappears from our view. God blots out our sins. They disappear from his view. And my friend, that is a tremendous blessing. Psalm 85 and verse 2, "Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins." And as I pointed out on Wednesday night, that is the word that we have for atonement. The Lord has atoned. He's covered our sins in the precious blood. So when God looks upon us, he sees the blood of Christ. He does not see our sin. What a tremendous blessing and a sweet promise that is from the Lord. And then that wonderful verse in Micah 7, verses 18 and 19, "Who is a pardoning God like thee?" And it says, "He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy." God the Lord delights in mercy towards you and me, who all we deserve is the flames of a Christless hell. But God, we're told, he delights in mercy. And it's also, if you look at a second chocolate, if you like, you take it out and you look at it, and it is like God passed an act of oblivion and decreeing that "I, the Lord, will not see any of their sins, because I'm blotting them out, I'm eradicating them, I'm deleting them for all time and for all eternity." And in Jeremiah 31 and 34, you read these words, "From the least of them unto the greatest of them." So every person here who knows the Lord is inside that parenthesis. "From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." You think of the prodigal son. Well, he went and had a view at the faraway fields that looked green, and he went away, and he spent his life in riotous living, mixed up with the wrong company, and all that he had, he lost it, and so he's down feeding with the swine at the trough in the field. And he decides, I'll arise and go to my father. And as he goes back, his father meets him. Now the father didn't say, son, why did you take your inheritance too soon? Son, why did you go away down there to the far country? Why did you mix out with those people there? Why did you get involved in that? And now you come back to me. That's not what the father said. The father said, this is my son that was dead. He's now alive. And he gave him a robe. And he gave him shoes. And he gave him a ring. The father did not go back to that which had happened earlier. But rather he receives him. And so that's the marvel of the grace of God, the amazing miracle, that God does not upbraid us for our earlier sins. Now we can sit down and we can remember our sins of earlier days, and they bring a blush to our cheek and they bring a pain to our heart even today. But God does not upbraid us for those things that we did before, because they have been blotted out in the sea of God's forgetfulness. As it says in Isaiah, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. And so we rejoice today in the amazing love and grace of our God. Not only that, but you take out another of these chocolates, these sweet morsels that God has given to us in this doctrine of forgiveness, and you find that we are spared the wrath of God. We do not merit or earn God's salvation. There's nothing we can do to merit God's salvation. But there is one thing that we have merited, and that is we merit eternal judgment and eternal death in the place called hell because of that mountain of sin. But what a thrill it is for the believer to say, as Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation against those that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Why is there no condemnation? Because for the believer, there is no charge against that believer. Because God has forgiven the sin, he's blotted out the iniquity, and therefore there is no charge can be brought against them. My friend, that is a tremendous blessing from Almighty God, that no devil or no man or woman this earth can bring a charge against the child of God. Doesn't it tell us there in the book of Romans, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And then there's another chocolate we need to look at, another sweet morsel here. And that is that our guilt is gone. And here's the thing where many believers today, attending evangelical churches, they have lost sight of this, mostly because of what they're taught in the pulpit. The devil, he wants to accuse us. And he wants to guilt us continually. And that's why you'll find that in churches, very often, people are guilted into doing something for the Lord. Well, in actual fact, we should be responding to the love of God. The love of God constraineth us to do the things that we ought to do. But the devil wants to accuse us, and he and others want to guilt us continually. Now, say you owed me $1 million. You don't, but I'd be quite happy if you did. If you owed me $1 million, and you came like that man in the Bible, and you said, I can't pay. And I, like the king, said, go, your debt is forgiven. you would rejoice, no doubt, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. But if you had a knock at your door, and you go out and you find a policeman there, and he says, I'm charging you with taking $1 million. You can laugh at him, because your debt has been forgiven and he cannot charge you at all. And so when the devil comes along and his minions come along to accuse the child of God, let's stand up to him. And realize there is therefore now no condemnation. There's no charge against us, because God has buried the sins in the sea of his forgetfulness, and they are gone forevermore. And the believer can hold his head high, because the devil wants to drive you down into the slough of despond. He wants you to be so guilty. But when the Lord died for our sins, he died for our guilt as well. Because guilt was part of the curse. Adam and Eve were guilty and they sowed their guilt. But once the sin is blotted out, the guilt is gone, and we can hold our head high before God, not because of us, but because of what the Lord has done. And then you look at another of these sweet morsels that the Lord has given to us from this doctrine of forgiveness, and that is that he invests his people with dignity. And sometimes the child of God misses this, but the Lord has given to us a dignity. Remember Joseph, how Joseph was taken from the prison and put into the palace? And he who was crying down the depths of despair in a pit like the psalmist suddenly finds himself there in a position of great authority. He was given a dignified position by the Lord God Almighty. Do you remember Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth, who was lame on both legs, the son of King Saul, and the rest of the family, along with the king, were destroyed and were killed. But David sent a message to Mephibosheth, and he invited him to come from wherever he was to the palace in Jerusalem. And while the man himself, he referred to himself as a dead dog, yet David spoke kindly to him. And he, for the rest of his life, sat in the palace in Jerusalem and received food at the king's table. You remember that one in the book of Jeremiah, Jehoiakim, who was one of the kings of Judah, taken away captive in the dungeon there in Babylon. And for, I think it was 37 years, he languished in the dungeon, eating prisoners' food, wearing prisoners' rags. But one day, the new king, Evil-Merodach, called for him and brought him out of the dungeon and brought him into the palace in Babylon, and there gave him meat continually for the rest of his days. You see, that's what the Lord does to his people, because he invests them with a dignity that befits their position as members of the royal family. Because Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and because we're married to him in salvation, we're members of the royal family. And so therefore, we should rejoice greatly in the privileged position that God has given to us. Then something more. When you consider forgiveness, and you open up this box of tasty morsels that God has given to us, he tells us also, amazingly, that the believer is actually a favorite of heaven. Is it can't be? Oh, it is. You remember how God came and the angel came to Mary and said to her, thou hast found favor with God. Not because of Mary, but because God set his love upon her and called her to be the one who would bear the earthly body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you read of Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so the person who is a believer actually is a favorite of heaven. And that's why we're not to go down with our heads down and allowing the devil to kick us down to the ground. We are to lift our heads up. and look to the Lord, because all that we are and all that we ever hope to be is from His grace and from His mighty hand. You go into the box again, you take another one out, and this one tells you here that because your sins are forgiven, because you've found the truth of Psalm 130 and verse 4, because of that, now you can pray with confidence. Because if you are not a believer, your prayers aren't heard. They're not heard until God first of all hears the prayer, God be merciful to me the sinner. And so when you call upon the name of the Lord, that first prayer opens up the door and you can pray further. But now as believers, we can pray with confidence, because what is it that makes us afraid to really pray? It is guilt. We're guilted. But God has blotted our sins out, and so we stand before Him in right relationship because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, we can pray, and we can expect a blessing from the Lord, because there's nothing between. When sin is between us and God, well, the Bible tells us that if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear. But once sin has been removed from the equation by the grace of God and the sacrifice of Christ, then we can pray. And that's why believers need to learn the lesson to come before God to pray with confidence, and especially in the hard things. In life, people pray for little things and so on. But there are hard things in life that we need to pray for and pray through. I'm just writing this book of the history of this church. What a thrill it has been to look at the number of times we had our back against the wall. And the Lord wonderfully, gloriously answered prayer and gave us an answer from His Word that we could rest upon when we had nothing else to rest upon. Like in 1977, we were almost ready to move into a new church, and we needed the church badly at that time. And the owners of the church, the denomination actually, they KO'd the agreement, even though we offered them what they wanted. KO'd it. And we were devastated at that time, because we needed a place to meet in. We needed a house of God. But God answered that prayer, and He gave us a verse: the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. And what you're looking at here in our buildings, the school and so on, is God's reply and His answer to that prayer. We can pray, and we can pray big, and we need to pray big at this time that the Lord would send us a breath of revival. But when we know that our sins are forgiven and there's nothing between, we can go to God. We can ask Him, and God will wonderfully answer prayer. Doesn't answer always immediately. Sometimes He gives us the delay to teach us to pray, and to pray through, as we say. Some people pray once and forget it. But there are certain things you've got to pray and pray and pray and pray through. And then the Lord, He does the thing, and you're doubly, triply blessed when God does finally answer that prayer for you. Then we take out the box again. Here's another sweet morsel for us from this fact that God forgives the believer. And that is that our service for God is blessed. You see, when we are under guilt, the guilty cannot please God. But when our sins are blotted out, then we can to serve the Lord, and our service is blessed. And it doesn't matter whether it's a little bit of service or a large bit of service. Because Jesus said, if you give a cup of water, even in my name, the name of the disciple, you get your reward. And you folks who labor day and daily in the Sunday school or in the day school to try and train children in the way that they should go, and sometimes the pathway is very difficult, and you wonder, Lord, is it worth it all? It is, because the Lord sees, and the Lord will bless you. The Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Our service for God is blessed by the Lord when our sins are forgiven and there's nothing between us and Him. And then, We go into the box again, take another one out and look at it. And this one here is one that tells us that God supports us in our times of need. Life for everybody, without exception, is a mixture of the good and the not so good. All of us can testify to great blessings brought by the Lord. All of us can testify of hard days. And we think especially of this day a year ago, where we were all in the depths of despair because of the accident that happened to Sharon and Mike. 1 year ago by date today. But even in those, we discovered that the Lord is with His people. Because our sins have been forgiven. There's nothing between. He is there to uphold us. And He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so He's with us when we're praising God. And He's with us when we think that there's no hope. Because He's there. And I can testify, as others will, that on this very day, the Sunday, a year ago, I thought there was no hope for Sharon. But you're sitting there this morning. Why? Because God answers prayer. God blesses His people and He supports us in our times of need. Go back to the box again, take another one out and look at it. And this is amazing, that God makes His people righteous. And you look at that and you wonder, how can it be? Because we discover that we are in ourselves clothed in the filthy rags of our righteousness. Remember, there used to be a little song at the sign when I was only a teenager. From rags to riches. And the Lord takes His people from the rags of our sins, the riches of His grace and His glory. Because the Lord actually clothes His people with the robe of His righteousness. And what a blessing is that. He takes our sins away. He takes our filthy rags away. He buries them in the sea of His forgetfulness. He takes them away, blots them out as a thick cloud. And then He gives us the glorious robe of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. That's why the hymn writer said, Jesus, Thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, fit flaming worlds in these arrayed. With joy shall I lift up my head. And then, oh, there's a lot of others that I could take time to, but just take one more and look in again this sweet morsel that He removes the fear of death from us. Death is the great foe that will be faced by every man, woman, and child in this world unless the Lord comes beforehand. But we're all going to die. But you know, the death for the believer whose sins are forgiven is but the portal to glory and the portal to heaven. What a blessing for the child of God to know that their sins, though many, are blotted out. And we can say with Paul, O death, where is thy sting? Where, grave, thy victory? We can say with David of old, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And the Lord is there to bless us, all because of this verse here in Psalm 130, verse 4, but there is forgiveness with thee. One final thing, and that is a strange sequel, because it says, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. That's strange. The fear of God, that thou mayest be feared. If we faced the judgment of God, that would certainly cause us to fear. If we found ourselves before the great white throne of God's judgment, that would cause us to fear. But it says here, there is forgiveness that thou mayest be feared. Why would we fear when we have been forgiven? Thomas Adams put it well when he said, No man more truly loves God than he that is most fearful to offend Him. No man more truly loves God than he that is most fearful to offend Him. So There's a fear that comes with the forgiveness, and that is a fear that our lives would be slothful and not do the work of God that we ought to do in light of His great love and mercy. The fear that we might commit some error that would bring a bad testimony to Him and to His church. The fear that we'd allow the world to carry us away into its embrace and away from the hand and the embrace of the Lord Jesus. The fear that we would forfeit communion with Him because of the things that we do wrong and say wrong. That's why, like in the Lord's Prayer, we need to pray every day, deliver us from evil. A fear that we'd miss one word of the kindness of the Lord. A fear that we'd miss one glance of His love toward us. Brethren and sisters, today, the child of God is blessed above measure. We're not worthy of the least of His blessings. And yet we have just looked briefly at a handful of those things that the Lord has given us just because our sins are forgiven. May we today come with thankfulness unto Him and say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and so free." And should there be a soul here this morning that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you at this moment, your sins are not forgiven, and they're still sitting there as a cloud in your life, and they're still sitting there to drive you down to the caverns of the damned, my friend, listen to this verse, "But there is forgiveness with the Lord." And if you will call upon Him, even this day, and confess your sin as the psalmist is doing here, the Lord will hear that cry. He will blot out your sins, but you can leave this church this morning, not because of this church, but because of the Word of God and because of Christ. You can leave this church here as if you never, ever sinned. Because the Lord, when you come to Him, takes off the robe, the cloth of rags, and puts on the robe of His righteousness. Friend, make sure that you know the Lord, because none of us know what a day may bring forth. This time a year ago, none of us, not those who were in it, would have thought of that crash that killed Mike and seriously injured Sharon. My friend, you know not what a day may bring forth. Make sure today that you get right with Him now. Because now you have. Tomorrow is dreamland. You may never see its light. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before Thee today in humility, realizing that Thou, for Christ's sake, hast blessed us abundantly. Thou hast opened Thy hand of bounty upon us to fill every believing heart with joy in the Lord and with gratitude. And grant, O God, that we will fear to do that which is wrong, that we will fear the Lord, we will serve Him. O God, bless Thy people. And Father, for those who know not the Lord, O God, we pray at this day Thou would give them grace to call upon the name of the Lord, because Thou hast said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Hear this our prayer. Bless us now, we pray, for Jesus' sake.